Yeah, all the committee are, Chair.
All the committee are?
Yeah.
Right, just bring it to order, Hendrick. Andy, move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the consultation on amendments, apologies, to the Rights of Way Statement of Priority on pages 63 to 80 of the published agenda pack. And this concerns the consultation on amendments to the Rights of Way Statement of Priorities, and the report has two appendices as follows. Appendix 1, which details the current statement of priorities on pages 73 to 74. And I see the officers nodding, that's fine. And Appendix 2, which details the draft statement of priorities with the proposed changes on pages 77 to 79. Now, without any further ado or wasting time, I will hand straight over to the officer, Andrew Saint, to introduce the item and highlight the key points for us to consider and ask questions on if we so wish.
Thank you, Chairman, and afternoon, members. As the Chairman's just mentioned, this is an item about the review of the Rights of Way Statement of Priorities. And that really is the policy that sets out and dictates the order in which we investigate applications to modify the definitive map and statement of public rights of way. In some ways, this bears similarities to the item you discussed at the last meeting in February, which Pete Hobley brought to you in the last meeting. That related to our diversions policy, and ultimately the decision would be one for the lead member. Likewise, this will also eventually go to the lead member for a decision as to whether to change the statement of priorities or not. But because it deals with applications and the way we investigate applications, that you ultimately determine on a monthly basis, we'd really appreciate your views on how, you know, whether you think it's a good option to change it in the way we're proposing. So the current statement is set out in Appendix 1 of your report. It really creates a basic order of applications at the moment. At the top of that queue are applications which were scored under a previous policy. Those with the highest score at the top, down to those with the lowest score at the bottom. We ceased to score applications some years ago, and so since then, every other application that has been received has been ranked chronologically after the scored applications. So that creates the sort of the basic framework of our queue that we're currently working to. But then there are other provisions within this current statement which allow for applications to be taken out of turn where that's deemed appropriate, and where those are of a particular priority. So that's the current, a summary, I suppose, of the current situation. The statement was last reviewed over 4 years ago. We felt this was an opportune moment, a good time to have another look at it. And on the whole, I think the officer's view is that it's working well. That basic queue structure seems to be effective. It works well. But that's not to say that it can't be improved. And we're proposing a couple of changes under this review. Some of those I won't go into in much detail on. I don't want to lead you to a particular decision necessarily, but I'd say they're relatively inconsequential. Things like changing Somerset County Council to Somerset Council, the Regulation Committee to Strategic Planning Authority. I won't go into those in any great detail, hopefully for obvious reasons, but there are two more substantial changes which maybe warrant some further explanation. And those changes are the way in which we prioritise user-based applications. So that's the first one. And the second is how we deal with uncertified applications. And I'll take both of those in turn, if I may. So starting with user-based applications, broadly speaking, the evidence supporting an application can be divided into one of two categories. Either it's user evidence, so it's witness statements of how individuals have actually used the given route, or it's documentary evidence, often, not always, but older documents, but things already written down, not produced specifically for that application, for that case. Now, the user evidence in particular, we feel, can deteriorate over time, weaken over time. Not just the user evidence, but also witness evidence from landowners as well. People move away from the locality. People, unfortunately, they die. And over time, their memory, recollection of events fades and becomes weaker. So in order to allow us to more effectively capture that while it's fresh and while people are around and it's fresh in their minds, we'd like to give greater priority to applications which are based on user evidence or are supported by user evidence. Now, we're proposing that anything with five or more user evidence forms at the point of the application would therefore be taken out of that normal queue that I referred to a moment ago. So we'd still have our standard queue based on, first of all, scoring and then chronology. But if there was something with five or more user evidence forms, it would jump to the top so that we could capture that user evidence and landowner evidence while it was fresh in people's minds. The second major change, I suppose, or significant change to the policy that we're proposing is how we deal with uncertified applications. And I'm aware that this has come to committee recently in several forms. But if I may, I'll just remind members of some of the background. An application involves three steps for the applicant. First, they submit an application form, and that sets out the modification that they're seeking. Do they want to add something, delete something, upgrade it, etc. And it also includes the evidence on which they're relying, amongst other things. Once they've submitted that application form, they must then serve notice on the landowner. And having done that, they certify to us that they've served the notice on the landowner. So those are the three steps that they follow. After the first of those steps, the making of the application, the County Council must have a duty to register the application. And it goes on a public register, which is on our website and held in hard copy. So the public at large can see what applications have been received, who they're from, and what they're hoping those applications are hoping to achieve. So it's after that first stage of the application that the application gets registered. It's only after the third stage, once it's certified to us, that we, as a county council, have a duty to determine the application as soon as reasonably practicable. Now, we have a number of these uncertified applications in our backlog, so where the applicant has completed step one, but may not have completed step two or step three of their process. And to date, we've prioritised those applications, those uncertified applications, in exactly the same way as we have done all other applications, all the other certified applications. And as officers, we're very confident that that is entirely lawful, that we're able to do that. But recent challenge has highlighted to us that maybe we could give greater consideration to whether or not we should be prioritising them. So we're allowed to determine the uncertified applications if it's not causing substantial prejudice to the landowners. But should we be giving those applications the same level of priority as certified applications? And so that's really what we've considered when reviewing the policy this time round. So what we're proposing to do is keep that basic queue with the scored applications and then ranked chronologically after that, But when an uncertified application gets to the top of the queue, it gets held in abeyance. We stall the investigation, if you like. And the way I see that working in practice is that we would, as officers, we would see that the next case is uncertified. And before we get to the position where we are about to investigate, we would write to the applicant and we'd say, we notice, you know, your application is at the top now. It's still uncertified. You need to certify this. If they do, then it's compliant. And we go ahead and we investigate it in the normal manner. If the applicant doesn't take that opportunity, at that stage we say, well, your application is going to be held in abeyance. We're not going to investigate it now. And we'll move to the next one on the list. And we will hold the uncertified application in abeyance. We will not investigate it until such time as either it's been certified, so the applicant completes that final step, or all the certified applications below it have been investigated. There's one exception to that general rule, I suppose, of holding things in abeyance, and that is where an application has been taken out of turn. And I referred to this earlier, where it's taken out of the normal order of things. Those applications are considered a greater priority already. That's why it's been taken out of turn. So we're proposing to still seek certification of those, still ask the applicant to do their final bits. But if they don't, we will then consider waiving the non-compliance, the lack of certificates, and investigating anyway. This isn't without its drawbacks. I have to say, the committee should be aware that the whole concept of this is, it has drawbacks. In particular, it could lead to applications being held in abeyance for many years. If the applicant chooses not to serve notice on the landowner or certify that to us, then it will continue to be held in abeyance potentially. And the applicant has it within their gift to rectify that if they want, but the affected landowner doesn't. So it may be difficult for the landowner having an application on their land and they don't have the power to get it to the top of the queue to be investigated. Now, they may very well seek at that stage for it to be taken out of turn, but there's no guarantee that there'll be a mechanism for them to do that. So that's one of the downsides of this approach. But I think that has to be weighed against the benefits of it. And the first of those is, I think, it encourages compliance. And I think that's important. If we're already taking steps to encourage compliance, but this further puts pressure on applicants to make sure that they've taken all the necessary steps. It also focuses our officer resource on those applications which we have a duty to determine as soon as reasonably practicable. And that's written in the statute, so it helps us to make sure our resources are focused in that way. And the other thing to bear in mind as a benefit of the proposal is that in due course we're expecting legislation to come in to effect which will require the County Council to serve notice on all the landowners affected by applications. Now that legislation has already been passed, it's on the statute book already, but it's subject to regulations and those haven't yet been drafted as far as I'm aware. We're expecting them to come in later in the year, that's what DEFRA have suggested, and we're also expecting them to act retrospectively, which would, if that were the case, require us to write to all the landowners in our backlog of cases, notifying them of the application. And at that stage, they all become certified. And so this issue of uncertified applications falls away. Now, I have to say, we haven't seen those regulations yet. We don't know for sure how they're going to be drafted, but that is the expectation. And you know, I felt it was worth being aware of that as background to the overall decision or recommendation here. So I think that's the two key proposals. Not to say that there aren't others in there, but I think these are the two main ones. And as I say, these are likely to affect applications coming to you in the future, or to the Strategic Planning Committee in the future. So any thoughts you have on that we can feed into the process before going to the lead member would be really, really helpful. Thank you very much, Chairman.
Thank you for that, Andrew. I mean, there was, just before I throw it open, there was something you said in there where the landowner, so I whispered to me, Vice Chair here, that it looked as though that the landowners were being disadvantaged at one point, unless we got it wrong.
I don't think they're necessarily being disadvantaged. What this would do is it would mean that applications which the applicant chose not to certify for whatever reason would more than likely take longer to get to the top of the queue. And I would hope that applicants would choose to certify because it's in their interest, but there's no guarantee that they would. What a landowner could do in those circumstances is seek for their application to be taken out of turn, and there are various mechanisms for them to do so. One of them is where they are being substantially affected or exceptionally affected by an application which affects their land, or is having an impact on their land. So that would be an option available to them.
Okay, thank you for that. I got you, Martin, but I'll get cut one. Who over here wanted to speak?
Right,
I'll go down this way then. Edric?
Thanks, Andrew. Just saying, so the ones that are uncertified, so also say stay on your books for a long time. So does that makes us look like, or makes your department maybe look like they're not getting through the backlog? If they sit there uncertified, so you can't actually do anything with them, that makes it look like we've developed a backlog through not having the staff or the time to do it. So can they not just get kicked out if they haven't been certified? You know, it just seems a bit of a strange concept that, through no fault of yours, a backlog of work can build up because somebody hasn't done their bit.
Yeah, it's a really good point. And I think that comes back to what I was mentioning in opening about how it goes on the register after the application is made. But the duty to determine as soon as reasonably practicable only occurs after the certification. And as a result, uncertified applications have to remain on our register. That's the law. So, yes, there will be applications on there, which, if this goes through, there will always be applications at the bottom of the queue. That's the nature of a queue. But they have to be on there. That's what the law says. The other thing I would say on that point, sorry, is that we're not saying that these applications won't get dealt with or won't get looked at. This is about the order in which things, applications are, rather than which are in and which aren't, because they all have to be on the register. Hopefully that answers your question.
Thank you for that, Andrew. Was that next one, Andy?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. This seems quite strange to me, actually, that somebody can come along and make an application. And there are three stages to that application. And they're the person that's made the application, but they're not completing the other two parts. So to me, it should be a one. So I go and make an application to alter a right of way somewhere. Then I should then be responsible for informing the landowner that I made the application on their land. And I should also then be responsible for certifying it. Now, you said that there might be some legislation changes where the County Council, the New Somerset Council, will then go ahead and certify all of these uncertified ones, when actually that's really the responsibility, in my opinion, of the applicant. So to me, this seems quite crazy that we've got a system that doesn't clearly set out the responsibilities of the applicant to carry this process forward, because you could go, one particular group of applicants, perhaps one particular group could go around and make applications here, there and everywhere and not certify or not even notify, and then they go onto your books and there's a backlog. And this is, yeah, sorry. So to me, it just seems a lot clearer if it's one action, and if they don't complete that action, they can't bring that application forward.
It's better to answer we go. And I say, if you can make the question sort of succinct and the responses as well.
Absolutely, yeah. It comes back down to what the legislation says. So this that's not a policy decision that we have discretion over. The law says we have to register it on that first step, and the applicant may, and in most cases, most applicants do then go on to certify. I mean, I don't want to blow it out of proportion, as it were. Most applicants will go and certify their application because those are the steps. But yes, we have to register the application at the very first step.
There's no time
scale. Oh, yeah, good. Thank you, Pete. The other point is that there is no time scale by which they have to have certified this. So the legislation doesn't say, or at least it's not explicit in saying, make the application, then you have 6 months, for example, to get to the end point. That's not in the legislation. Thank you.
No, sorry, Martin at the far corner.
Oh, that was fine.
Michael, sorry. Yeah. It's all right. It's near enough. I just wanted to point out, almost flag that up really, that why do people not register the second stage? Is it because A, they don't know about it, or B, because they don't want to interact with the landowner because they either, I don't know, there must be a reason why people aren't doing it. It's either because they don't have a relationship with the landowner, or they're not welcome on the land, or they don't know the contact details. There must be something that's causing them not to do that. And I'm a bit mystified as to why that happened. But also, I'd like to say, I don't think that makes much of a difference to your backlog, does it? No.
I mean, if you can answer any of it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you, Chairman. I think it would be dangerous for me to put words into applicants' mouths without having asked them. And there may be something in what you've just said. But I would also say that some applicants are very aware that there's legislation on the books that says the county council, or the council, in a few weeks' time, may have to serve notice on all those landowners. And so they're thinking, well, I won't then. That's anecdotal. I can't back that up, but it is a possible other reason.
It's across the region as well.
Yeah, it's not just Somerset. This happens elsewhere. There was another point you raised, and then forgive me, I've forgotten.
It's just that there seems to be. You've just pointed it out that there's no compulsion to do that second stage within a certain length of time, which it sort of. And it seems a bit unfortunate to punish people for what is a lack of legislation, really, a failure of legislation. And there's the other council.
Without prolonging it, and Andrew did answer that one just now. It's the law, and the law can't be complied with.
It's the law, exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
End of story. It's the law on that one. Can I go to Kath there? No, Martin then. I got that one
thank
right.
Thank you. I think most of the points I was going to bring up have been covered by the various questions. The law's an ass, as well. Who said that? Someone did. Pickwick, was it? I don't know. Is this going to be these new set of rules or policy? Is it going to be retrospective? I mean, will all the people who are on the list at the moment who... will undoubtedly go to the bottom of the list, be told, or is it just going to, the thing going to start on the day of the new policy comes into place? How many are on the list, by the way? What are we at the moment? 300 and odd, was it?
375, I believe, the figure was that I saw. And personally, I think that anything we can do to reduce the backlog has got to be got to be welcome. But, I mean, you know, and this is possibly what this could be, well, hopefully leading to reduce it in the backlog. We're not saying it's going to. That's why we used the word carefully could. But sorry, Andrew.
Perhaps I've misunderstood you. I thought this is more a revision of or replacement of the backlog rather than reducing it, because it didn't sound to me as though we're going to reduce it. Oh, we were just going to not deal as swiftly with some as t'other. So it's not going to do anything to the backlog, is it?
Absolutely right. So what this doesn't reduce the size of the backlog, it dictates the order in which we deal with things in the backlog. In answer to your question about whether applicants will be told, I mentioned at the beginning how we have this basic queue of scored applications than the chronological ones. And actually, this doesn't really change that order. What it does is it says when your uncertified application gets to the top, we write to the applicant and say, please certify. If they don't, we will tell them at that stage, well, we're not going to start investigating, we're going on to the next one until you've certified. So it doesn't really change the order of the queue in that sense. What it does is it gives us the ability to put more pressure on to get the certificate in the first place.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. It strikes me that we ought to be pushing for a change in legislation here.
That's exactly what we've just said here. It is beyond our control. We can only hope that maybe by bringing some of the more straightforward cases to the fore, that does reduce the backlog quicker, maybe, in a sense, but not necessarily reducing the quantity, because you don't know how many applications you're going to have coming in. Pushing it up. So,
In answer to the legislative change, sorry, I'm not ignoring that point, but that is exactly what the Deregulation Act 2015 aims to do. I mean, it's already an act, it does do, it's just the DEFRA haven't got round to drafting the regulations which implement, or the commencement orders which will implement it, but it will change that legislation so that. Well, as my understanding of it is that it will change its legislation so that the uncertified element goes away. Now, who knows what it will say in the real regulations? We'll have to wait and see. I can't offer promises on that, but that the change in legislation is there. Exactly what that looks like in the end is in doubt.
Tony and Mike, the last two down there. No.
Thank you, Chairman. I've not been on this committee that long, but it does seem to me, looking and listening to what's been said, it seems like the whole system needs a complete overhaul. We're just picking at bits, and it doesn't seem to be as if we're going anywhere. But that's just a comment from just what I've learned today.
I mean, Andrew will confirm possibly with a yes or no. What you say could, you know, is possibly right. But we are governed by legislation. That is where it does fall down. That is beyond our control. Correct, Andrew?
Oh, that's an easy question. Yeah, legislation is definitely beyond our control. Yeah. I like those ones. We've got to work within the legislation. There are a number of changes in the Act that they're looking to implement. But,
yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. It's more of a statement really than a question. It just strikes me that if we were to start next month and clear 2 a month, it would still take 16 years to clear that backlog. So legislation we have got to do something. Legislation somewhere along the way has got to be changed, because that's without any new applications coming in.
No, I've got nothing to add. I mean, obviously, what we're aiming for here is members' views so we can incorporate them into our review. So.
Oh, sorry. Is there anybody online who wants to speak? No. Sorry, I will come to Joe when I've just clarified that there's no one online. I mean, Martin Dimmery was online just now. I didn't know if he wanted to speak, so give him the opportunity. Now I will come to anything from the legal perspective.
Thank you, Chairman, for the opportunity. I think it's been a really helpful debate, and it will inform, I'm sure Andrew will take into account the issues that the members have raised. But no, I don't have anything to add to the comments that Andrew has made.
Thank you for that, Joe. I mean, as Tony just said here, he hasn't been involved with it long, and it is a minefield, and I think it will be a minefield going forward. But we, just sort of summing up, we as a committee have got to try to assist the officers with the process and the way we move forward with dealing with the applications. And if there's something they bring forward which we think can assist with that, you know, I think we have to support the officers. There's nothing to say we cannot change it moving forward in the future. And hence the recommendation which we've got, which is recommended that this regulation committee provide their support for the proposed changes to the statement of priorities. And as I say, you know, it's proposed by the vice chair. I was seconded by Martin, which is excellent. And if I could just have I will take a show of hands on this one.
It's unanimous, Chair. It's unanimous,
thank you. Chair. Thank you very much. All right, Andrew. Right.
Just let those of you at home or online know that was a unanimous vote in favour.
Good job you're here, Jamie. Committee needs to deal with. I don't know of any, but any.
Mr. Caswell
has, apart from the change of this committee moving forward, and what will happen. So let's.
Just to say that I thoroughly enjoyed myself, and I'm looking forward to the strategic planning role, and you've chaired it well, Chair. And I thank you for that.
Thank you for that. As I say, it's a new entity moving forward. I think we're all looking forward to seeing what happens. And, you know, with a few reservations. But I will leave it at that at this moment in time.
Off at a tangent, I'm afraid, Jim, but not too much of one. Those who went on the site visit will have sat through the presentation by the thing. And I was so impressed with the presentation when it came to the film of the drone taken of the site. And it occurred to me that we could save an awful lot of money and time and speed applications up. Instead of tramping around the countryside on site visits around various parts of the county, we just take a film of it on drone. And
who,
show it at the committee meeting.
Who gets to play with the toys?
One of the Black Sea, if you want.
Yeah, I've gone picking
up. Who gets to play with the toys? Should we get a turn each?
No. You're an officer. No, it is a sensible suggestion when it comes to the committee meetings and also site visits.
I appreciate what you're saying there, Martin, but, I mean, this is just my purely personal view on that one. You can have you had the video there on the screen. You know, you don't really, you know, need a drone to see the site. You saw the site on the screen. Having a drone there might show you different aspects and different views. But for me personally, actually seeing it with my own eyes, experiencing it with my own feet stood on the ground and walking and seeing the pitfalls, not just the potholes or anything like that, but on the ground, is far more beneficial than seeing anything on a screen. And I see a thumbs up from Mike there. And it possibly would, but there is no, the experience of a site visit, I think, is I think essential, but that is just, I stress my view. If it became policy that we wouldn't do it, we got to rely on a drone, I wouldn't know what I would say, but I mean, I do hear what you're saying, though, Martin.
It was only a suggestion, it was not of the...
Of course it was.
It's that obviously you need to go to that, but well, for all these byways and footways and things like that, quite frankly, you don't need to go and walk all those if you could get the nice 2-minute drone presentation. Think of the money you'd save, Chairman, for the council.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for that, Mark.
Yes, I guess it could be for those who either have got something in their diary that makes it impossible to go on a Monday. They could then view the drone footage, and it would be less than being there. I admit that. I think you're right. There's nothing to replace actually being there. But also, you can put drones in a situation where you walk through as if you were a person. So that, for me, is something that we could look at. But the trouble is it's going to cost money. So it would have to be verified.
I'm afraid whatever you do these days costs money. I don't want to delay this anymore. Andy, did you want, just briefly, and I mean seconds, please.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just briefly, if I cast members' minds back to the anaerobic digester that we visited, right. Two of the main complaints on that were noise and odour. I take the councillor's point that there is a use for drones, and that there absolutely is, but some of those sensory perceptions that you have are invaluable. Yeah. Thank you.
All it remains for me that, sorry Mike, I want to wrap up if I could, please. Yes, carry on.
It's just that when we go on site visits, shouldn't we have supplied PPE? That's a point.
We do have supplied PPE.
Every time I've been on a site visit, somebody's given me a high vis vest. Doesn't fit ever, but they're giving
Mike's
me one.
Always, Colin's always got it in his car. A box of the stuff in hard hats. Yeah, so it is there. It is. I said earlier, this is our last regulation meeting. Thank you all for your support. And I'm sure there'll be some of us here with the strategic committee moving forward in whatever shape or form. But it's going to be interesting. Thank you very much. Thank you all. Thank you.